Today on Movie World, as we talk about Yesterday and Blinded by the Light. It's time for Movie Wallers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yesterday as well.
Movie Wallers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
Hello.
So I was just thinking, how difficult is it to say titles of movies that are song names without singing them?
Blinded by the Light.
Yes. Right. No.
Yesterday.
Exactly. It's kind of hard in your head. You sing them.
That's not something I've ever thought about, but you're right. What are the song names?
Rocket Man.
Well, Rocket Man.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
No, I don't think about it. You think about the song
Bohemian Rhapsody? Yeah.
Like, Rocket Man, I do.
Yeah, because you want to say, did you see Rocket Man? You don't really go, did you see Rocket Man? You go, did you see Rocket Man?
We're going to be doing that all throughout this podcast now, aren't we? So we're going to talk about Yesterday and Blinded by the Light. I can't remember the
Blinded by the Light.
That's the one. Oh, God, that's going to be in my head now for the rest of the week. Thank you for that, Rashmi.
Pollution.
Is that
it was Springsteen, yeah.
I was saying Spielberg, yeah, Springsteen.
Maybe Spielberg also sang it, but I don't know.
Speaking of it, Spielberg is doing a remake of The West Side Story.
Really?
Which is shooting all over New York City right now.
Is he doing it as a musical?
Yeah, he's doing it as a musical. I don't think so. I'm not sure. But it's weird.
With half a story, Yasti.
I know.
Tom Hooper wasn't available?
No, I think it's set in olden times. Not olden times, but the 50s, yeah.
Gosh.
Puerto Ricans, and it's so weird. I mean, I think everybody agrees that
the
West Side Story is near perfect.
Why?
Maybe about immigrants and, the clash between immigrants and the people who are.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe.
Interesting.
Yeah. Spielberg's last few movies have been about that.
Yeah. He's doing more serious stuff,
more political
right?
stuff, yeah.
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 Bridges
like Ready
was
Player
his
One.
Last one. Ready Player One.
No, The Post.
The Post, that's right.
Yeah, his career is kind of, he kind of does this very serious stuff and then this very whimsical stuff.
Yeah,
of course he does.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally allowed to do that. As can we. So, we like to, on our podcast, before we talk about movies, talk about some movies that have been in our Netflix and streaming playlists with a usual segment of I Can't Find Anything to Watch on VOD. And so let's talk about some movies that we've got in our list, because again, this we do this because there's so much on VOD, there's so many choices, there's so many outlets, that isn't kind of a nightmare to find some things sometimes. So we try and help you out with some choices. And what are our three picks this week?
So I went topical this week, given we're talking about two sort of musical movies. I'm gonna pick the documentary Amy, about Amy Winehouse. Which was I was shocked when we watched this, because I thought it was a really well put together documentary that told a full life story, and sadly her life was cut short. But I was shocked at how much archival footage there was. I didn't realize that so much of her life had been documented. So that was really interesting to me. And I was just fascinated by this person.
We're talking about her early life because, a lot of when she became famous, it's
obviously
clear there's
correct.
A lot of stuff there. But there's a lot of her very early life featured in this, which would have taken some finding.
And her songwriting process and the trials and tribulations of her love life and her battle with drugs. Really interesting documentary, and it's currently playing on Netflix.
Yeah, I just like that it makes such a strong commentary about mental health and about how towards the end she was her own enemy and nobody could save her.
Correct.
I mean, she was ready for the saving and nobody could save her. And
correct.
It's such a tragic story.
Because she didn't want to go to rehab. And I sang that in my head.
Oh, God.
That director also, Asif Kapadia, yes. I think he also directed the wonderful movie Senna, which we all, yes. we all loved. And
really good documentary.
He's got a documentary out this year about Diego Maradona, which I haven't seen, but I've heard very, very high things. Well, I don't know. Is it out already? I know
no, that coming out in 2019.
Okay. And I mean, I know it's been reviewed by, it's done well critically. I think it had a June, I think it was released in the UK first. That's probably why we didn't get it here, but that's also.
And of course, you know, Diego Maradona was such a controversial figure for English people because of the soccer.
He was right. the Argentinian football yeah. player who infamously
stole the World Cup
from Britain. England back in, gosh.
1980-something.
Something.
Yeah.
A sore point for
still,
many.
Still, clearly, I see.
Yes.
Yassi, your pick?
So my pick is also a musical in line with the musicals we're going to discuss Yay. Today. And my pick is the much maligned but dearly loved by me movie, which came out last year, which is Mary Poppins Returns. And I think they had a very...
My eyes rolled back into my head.
They had a very high bar, I think, in terms of kind of finding the next chapter in so beloved a children's classic as the original Mary Poppins with Julie Andrews. And I think all things considered, while trying to remain, you know, in fidelity with the original movie and its tone and the kind of music, I think they did a very reasonable job. I think it's a little darker than the original movie. And Emily Blunt, while not very obviously imitating Julie Andrews, kind of makes her own version of her, you know, this crisp, all-knowing, somewhat little bit strict, but very loving nanny to these kids. And this time it's the kids of the kids from the original movie. Lin-Manuel Miranda is also there. And I don't know, the movie, it really worked for me. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. And I think it came with impossibly high expectations. I also had this sense of dread about the whole affair mm-hmm. of like, why are we doing this? Are we so creatively bankrupt that we're having to rob these old franchises again and again and again? And, you know, the songs really worked for me. And I think this movie lives or dies by its songs and the Emily Blunt performance, which was different. She wasn't doing the Julie Andrews impression mm-hmm. that we all expected her to do. So I really like that one.
Didn't work for me. Yeah. This was one that I said a spoonful of sugar wouldn't help it go down. But it's because I love the old ones so much.
As does everyone, I yeah. think. You know, that's a dearly beloved franchise. Too yeah. bad. Okay.
And Joel, what's your pick?
Well, this is kind of where I wish that our movie Wallers, we weren't so off the cuff and we had pre-production meetings, because I was going to pick Mary Poppins as well.
No!
Really?
Because I figured we were talking musical this episode. So I'm going to go with my pick for the next episode, which is the movie, which is very different and probably the opposite of a musical. Although one could argue that it's visually lyrical, which is the movie 300 by director, what's his name?
Zack Snyder. Movie.
Well, so I think I may have talked about this previously recommended, but this is just a visual treat, and it's coming out on, I think, Amazon Prime streaming for the first time. I think it's been on Netflix before, so apologies if this is a duplicate from a past episode, but it's a movie that I really, really enjoyed. It was based on a comic book by Frank Miller. The movie was done very much in a comic book style, although live-action visuals and lots of enhanced abs. And I think this is ringing a bell here. We have spoken about this before on the podcast, so probably not necessary to go over it again. And Rashmi, wipe the drool from your lips as you think about the many, many six-packs of the
It was the Spartans. Man in underpants. That's what did it look. What's not to like about a man in underpants and a cape?
They're not underpants. They're very historically accurate.
Loincloth.
Yes.
Seriously, but what is not to love about a man in underpants,
it's not a
cape?
A man, it's many men.
Many underpants. Men, exactly. A cape and boots.
This isn't the movie for everyone, though, Rashmi aside. But I think, for me, it worked just so well because it felt like a comic book visual.
But it was very adult.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It was very adult in the way that it presented the material, right?
Sure,
it didn't shy away
itself.
From, you know, being fruity.
I was going to say, I should maybe correct the comic book statement and say this was a graphic novel yeah. rather than a comic book. So the yeah. book itself was not really aimed at children. it's not especially adult in its nature, but it did have adult themes and visuals, so sure. But anyway, so three picks, very different. Rashmi, you had Amy, Yazdi, you had Mary Poppins, and I had 300. Lots to watch. If you're not out at the movie theatres, check out one of those streaming services soon. Okay, let's move on then to our movies of the week. Got Yesterday and Blinded by the Light, which I steadfastly tried hard not to sing there, Rashmi.
So let's start with Yesterday. And a director who is getting to the point where he needs no introduction, Danny Boyle, who has done, you know, he's so versatile. He's done so many excellent movies. 127 Hours, 28 Days Later, Slumdog Millionaire. You know, he's kind of like...
Trainspotting.
Kind of like Trainspotting. He's kind of like Ang Lee. You know, no two movies of his are alike.
That's a really good point.
And
yeah.
He goes across genres. He takes up things, you know, which are very different, and kind of does reasonable justice to all of them. This is Danny Boyle's latest movie, and it's called Yesterday. And Yesterday is set in his, you know, native Britain, and it tells the story of a struggling musician who realizes that he's the only person on the planet who can remember the Beatles. And this happens after he wakes up in an alternate timeline where the Beatles never existed. So I presume, I haven't seen this movie, but I presume that he gets hit by some manner of something and then he wakes up and the Beatles don't exist anymore. And it stars Lily James, who is also gaining a lot of popularity. We saw her last in the Mamma Mia movie, I believe. The sequel, it also stars newcomer Himesh Patel in the title role, Sofia Di Martino, and Meera Sayal is here, you know, who Brits will know, along with Sanjeev Bhaskar. They do their show, which is very popular and quite rightly so. And Ed Sheeran, who needs a comb, is here in this movie as well. He really needs a comb. And the writing credits are Richard Curtis and Jack Barth. And Richard Curtis, I should say, is one of my favorite filmmakers. He wrote and directed Notting Hill.
About a boy.
The movie, oh God, what did he do a couple years ago that we all really loved?
Love Actually.
It was the one with Domhnall Gleeson and Rachel McAdams.
About Time.
That's right. Gosh.
So anyway, so it's quite an amazing pedigree and an interesting concept. I was not able to see this movie. I meant to see it last night, but it was a long work week and my bones were sore.
Yesterday
was not to be yesterday. So I could not make it. But the both of you saw the screening. So what's your take on Yesterday?
So this is a delightful little fairy tale that could be so twee, but manages to stay on the right side of feel good without being sickly sweet. I absolutely love this movie.
Yeah, this one worked for me as well. I mean, it's such a contrived premise, you know, that you have to give the movie just that little bit of space to explore this, you know, kind of really preposterous what if premise, right? You know, this one character is the only person in the world who, having received a bump on the head and some sort of electrical power outage, only person in the world that ever remembered the Beatles song. So it's a funny little premise, and despite that kind of major conceit, it's really a fun little film. It plays very well with its general idea, you know, explores lots of things, you know, things like, you know, character not quite remembering all the songs, because I mean there were so many wonderful Beatles songs that even the most ardent fan would struggle to remember all of them, and it creates this lovely atmosphere and almost nostalgia for those songs. I'm not the world's biggest Beatles fan, but like I think most purveyors of pop music, I have some Beatles in my collection, so just, you know, experiencing those songs through the movie was wonderful, and the performances were absolutely spot on.
Yeah, I think the thing that impressed me the most was Danny Boyle's directing, which really takes this from being a very small, sweet indie like Juliet Naked. Mm-hmm. It's quite similar in that feeling,
sure, yeah,
that it creates to something with a bit more heft, because he has such dynamism in the way that he directs.
It zings.
He's a very,
yeah,
he's a very
it kind of like zings
director,
and
yeah.
bounces and, you know, moves along at a really nice pace. And I feel like it just leaves you with this big smile on your face. And of course, the music is terrific, right? I mean, as soon as those tunes come on, you can't help but sort of bop your head along and sing along with the words. I'm really surprised that Ed Sheeran agreed to do the part he did. That was kind of an interesting role, I think. I don't
Why
know
do
much about
that?
Ed Sheeran because he's an established pop star.
Sure.
And it's kind of putting himself, I think...
He looks awesome in it.
Yeah,
in
he,
the sense
he looks...
Of he looks like... to me, I'm actually not familiar with Ed Sheeran or his
yeah.
music. So to me, it kind of put him on a bit of a pedestal. I wish they had been a little bit more brave with the portrayal there, but...
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see him.
But is he self-mocking?
Yeah, it is a bit self-mocking.
Okay.
And it's because he's, you know, obviously the premise is that this guy is now singing all of the Beatles songs and Ed Sheeran's feeling a little bit insecure because the songs are so good.
Right.
And people are, the perception is that they're all hearing them for the first time. That was interesting. And I think it was really nice to see Lily James kind of breaking out and doing something a little bit different to what we've seen her in recently.
She made this movie in
yeah,
many ways.
Yeah, she's a I lot
mean,
of heart.
She's such an agreeable presence on screen. Like she warms up every scene. She's the emotional heart of the movie in many ways. So, you know, a lot of the high and lows of the emotional aspect of the movie just come through her character. Yeah. Himesh Patel also played this just right. I mean,
yeah, he's
for me,
great.
One of the interesting things is that there is no reason for this character to be Indian. I feel like there's no there's nothing Indian especially about the way he's written or behaves. And so, you know, the choice of casting him in that role, which to me would have been, you know, a very obvious choice for a non-Indian actor, just worked really well. And again, he approached it so nonchalantly, I mean, you know,
matter-of-factly,
and it was really wonderful to see that cultural aspect play into, you know, his parents' understanding of what he was seeing in the songwriting. You know, there's a wonderful scene with, you know, the song Let It Be, where he keeps starting the song and his parents have absolutely no interest in it whatsoever. They're like, very nice, you know, okay, carry on playing. And then the neighbor comes around and interrupts him. And so it's a really funny little scene, and you know, that was just really well done.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's kind of something representative of where the culture is in England at the moment. I mean, it's very British in its sensibility, although there's a great performance by Kate McKinnon, who's always great in every movie.
I do need to warn listeners, though. I think the movie's humour is very British. There are a couple of little in-jokes in there about British bands. There's a couple of little cultural British things in there that I think we... as, you know, having grown up there, can tune into. But the movie, and that's not to say the movie is not accessible to non-Brits, it's just, it, you know, it has that same kind of colloquial sensibility that, you know, a lot of, you know, British movies do. So unless you grew up there, I think there's a couple of things that you'll miss, but that doesn't take away from it from my perspective.
No, it's great that they're kind of putting their... you know, putting their money where their mouth is in terms of being colorblind, in terms of placing characters culturally. So that's great. That's how movies should be. And I haven't seen the movie, but for me, what interests me is the ethical consequences of, like, if I had access to something that suddenly the world doesn't know about it, you know, how far can you keep using it before you realize it's wrong?
And the film explores that really well. It's a good twist, actually.
No, totally. I think it's an important part of the movie because you do get this, you end up with this sense that, you know, his world is built upon a house of cards. It's, you know, he's portraying himself to be something that he's not, which is this incredible singer-songwriter. And so, yeah, the story does address that in a clever way. But, yeah, let me wrap up my thoughts on this. I think this is just a very agreeable movie. If you're a Beatles fan, I think you'll love it even more. You know, as the credits played, I found myself you know, rooted in my seat, listening to, you know, Hey Jude, play it out, play out.
Hey Jude.
You know, Rashmi was like, what are you doing? Because Hey Jude's not a short song. It's like 7 minutes long. So I was the last person in the theater listening to it, but I just find that stuff so seductive. It's an 8 out of 10 for me. I really enjoyed it. I think most people will get something out of it. It has charm. It has wit. Lily James is just delightful in this, and I think she's my biggest memory of all the performances here, because I kind of want to see more of her and more of her in this type of role. She did it so much justice. But great movie.
Yeah, Yesterday is delightful. I don't know how else to say it. Don't wait, rush out and see this tomorrow.
Good.
Okay, then movie number two of the week, as a plane flies overhead here.
Yes. So,
plane.
Blinded by
I think
the
it's light. A helicopter, which has come down to listen to us.
They've come to get you, yes, Steve.
They've come to get
me. The time has come. No more running.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's good while it lasted. Okay, so the second movie for this podcast is a movie which is remarkably similar in that it's altogether surprising. It's come out within months, if not weeks, of Yesterday, with a movie with a very similar concept set in the same geographical area. This one is called Blinded by the Light, and it's directed by Gurinder Chadha. And Gurinder Chadha, of course, is a India-based filmmaker, and she's made movies.
England-based. She lives in England.
Yes, but of English, of Indian descent. Yes, yes. But she lives in England. She's made movies such as What's Cooking, which if you haven't seen, you really must. It's a wonderful movie. Bend It Like Beckham, I think that's what put her on the map.
One of my favorite movies.
Bride and Prejudice, which is really underrated. I love that movie so much. It's an Indian take on Pride and Prejudice. And then more recently, she did Viceroy's House, which came out, I think, last year. And so this is her latest movie, and essentially this one, just like Yesterday, is the story of set in 1987 during the Thatcher era, and it tells the story of a teenager who learns to live life, understand his family, and find his own voice through the music of Bruce Springsteen. So it was the Beatles in the previous movie, or it's Bruce Springsteen. And the writers are Paul Maeda Burgess and Gurinder Chadha. And the cast is mostly a cast of unknowns. Vivek Kalra is in the main role. And there's also Meera Ganatra, Aaron Figura, Dean Charles Chapman, and Gulvinder Kheer. So again, I missed watching the screening for this one. What do you guys think of Blinded by the Light? And how does it compare to Yesterday? Which you both gave an 8 to, by the way.
Mm-hmm. We did, yeah. So, I mean, on the face of it, it seems that they are familiar stories. They're quite different movies. I think, you know, Blinded by the Light is more about a single person's struggle to kind of find his identity and place within the world. And he's able to find many of many commonalities between the way he feels about life and the world, as you know, did Bruce Springsteen, as evidenced by many of his lyrics and his early work, especially. This is a really charming movie as well. I think, like the movie Yesterday, it's very British in its sensibility, and I think it's actually more difficult for non-Brits to get along with, because it refers back to not just modern times, but a historical period in Britain. It goes to some length to kind of, and because it's based on a true story, so this is based on a particular guy's memoirs of what it was like growing up and not really being able to find his place in the world because his you know. So I like this one a lot as well. It had real charm, and you know, it just everything about it kind of clicked for me. Way too much of the movie is in the trailer, but I'll kind of stop there for a second and let Rashmi have a word.
Joe and I are on the same page this week. So this is sweet and nostalgic for a time gone by when we were actually teenagers growing up in the UK and Britain. Although, like Joe said, I think it may be a bit too Brit for American audiences. That's not to say they won't love the Bruce Springsteen music. I think this captures the immigration experience of first-generation families so perfectly, especially if you were an Indian kid growing up in England. I was, and I was smiling from ear to ear because at times it was like literally someone had captured my diary from my youth. I think the parents are perfectly portrayed. And I think, you know, what's super smart about this movie is what we think is the rise of white supremacy and anti-immigration sentiment is new, right? We kind of think, oh, it's making a comeback. And yet this movie that's set in the 80s is perfectly applicable today in terms of what the National Front was doing and how... you know, there was always racial tension and the immigration experience and being accepted. And so I think that's what this movie really does bring to the forefront, even if you're not into the music and the British experience of being an immigrant. So, yeah, I really like this movie. I think the issue I always have watching a Gurinder Chadha movie is this ain't no Bend It Like Beckham, which is, you know, one of my all-time favorites. So, but this one, you know, it I think what she does really well is, and also with Yesterday, you kind of said do a compare and contrast, Yazdi. This one's done a great job, as did Yesterday, integrating the music, the Bruce Springsteen soundtrack. And I think both in vision and the way that it plays, right? It plays through the story without it feeling like La La Land or... you know, a musical, although it takes advantage of the Bruce Springsteen music. And it did feel a little bit more like Rocket Man to me.
Yeah,
I think, in terms of feeling.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the music here isn't quite as seamlessly integrated into the plot as in Yesterday. So Yesterday, you know, there are concert scenes or there's him playing a guitar or playing a song for some friends. You know, it's kind of here they are full on kind of dream sequences where the world suddenly erupts into music and the
text is flying in the sky, and
which took a little bit of adjusting for me. Yeah. I think it's not done with the same kind of panache as Rocket Man does. You know, it's dialed a little back a couple of numbers, so you know it doesn't go there in this big bodacious way, but they are full-on kind of fantasy dream sequences.
Is it set in contemporary times or it's set?
No, it's set in the
80s. 1987,
yeah.
United Kingdom, where again I think it's a trip down memory lane for those of us that were there, because you know there were many political issues going on at the time. The 80s were, you know, a time of ups and downs and
high unemployment.
1987 was when the stock market crashed, and that had a global impact, which was, you know, affected jobs in the UK. And it doesn't really get into the Black Friday stuff, but it does get into, you know, the loss of jobs for working class people and the impact that has on a society. Plus, it deals really well with the immigration experience. I think, you know, the fact that parents come from other countries with different values to the society in which their kids are growing up is always an area that's, you know, it's very similar to Bend It Like Beckham. It's very ripe for exploitation story wise, but this does a really nice job of it.
Yeah,
and it's a true story, which is even more remarkable. You know that. And a young Pakistani kid growing up in the UK would find such relevance in the working class hero that Bruce Springsteen is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. I think what it does beautifully is convey the power that music has at that age. When you have nothing else but homework or music to listen to, how we all get involved in having
pop
heroes, right? Mine would you. So, you know, that's really cute. And I think the production was excellent. It perfectly captured the 1980s. I can sum this one up. For me, this is a 7 out of 10. Marginally worse, I hate to use that word, than Yesterday. But, you know, this is based on a true story. And I like that we see footage of the real guy at the end. It's always a good place to leave the movie.
Yeah, I'm going to give this the same as yesterday. I agree. I think yesterday has the edge just really because of, you know, Boyle's effervescent direction. You know, Gurinder Chadha has a much more emotional involvement with the material. She's not quite as flashy as Boyle can be, and not quite as technically show-offy. But nonetheless, I think... I think she's also probably not quite as demanding of the screenwriter. So the language and the writing is definitely sharper in yesterday. But nonetheless, this is a really fun little movie. I recommend anyone catch it. Do watch out for the colloquial Britishisms. I think you know, they're very early on in the movie. It talks about, you know, NF, which, you know, is about the National Front, which is a political action group, you know, white supremacy type group in the UK. And I think Rashmi and I were probably the only ones in the theatre that actually understood that reference, that hadn't grown up in England. Until later on, it kind of is explained. So, but yeah, wonderful movie, and again, excellent use of music throughout.
Yes, I think you'll like both these movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I think these are really ones that you'll
enjoy. And I should add, I'm not a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. Me neither. If you knew these songs, you know, a lot better than I did, the movie would certainly have an even deeper resonance with you.
Okay, my work's cut out. Homework for this weekend. Do we have a long weekend coming?
I know, right?
No, but we should.
Yeah.
Just take a day off. Call in sick, Yazdi. Yeah. Go to the movies. All right, let's wrap up for our podcast today. Mail at movieworlders.com, twitter.com/moviewallers, facebook.com/moviewallers, instagram.com/moviewallers as well. Check us out on those various social media outlets, and subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so. One of the things we should plug from time to time is, if you get the chance and you like the podcast, if you don't ignore it, but if you like the podcast, do give us a thumbs up on iTunes. I think that's one of the ways that we can become more popular. So take couple minutes out of your day, if you kindly would, and give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. That will help us a great deal. So we'd like you to do that if you can. If you don't like the podcast, then forget everything I just said. Until our next podcast, too many movies, too little time. Goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.